Genesis chapter 1. Beginning at the first verse, I'll be reading to you from the New King James Version. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I'd like to put a tag on this text to bring this back into your memory, simply the beginning. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The beginning. Dearly beloved, one of the reasons I am 100% full-blooded Christian is because I believe in the Bible. Amen. I believe in the authority, the sufficiency, the inerrancy, and the infallibility of God's holy word. Yes, Lord. I believe everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation last. I believe that the word of God is powerful. I believe that when you align your life with the will and the word of God, great things are bound to happen. I believe, like the writer of Hebrews, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I believe, like Isaiah says, the grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of God will remain true forever. I stand with Paul that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I believe that every time you open the Bible, you will encounter and experience God in a new way. I believe that whenever you open up to whatever chapter, to whatever book, whatever page, whatever verse, God is saying something to you. Amen. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what God is speaking. Yes. It is never God's desire for you to read his word and walk away empty-handed. And because I am full-blooded Christian and believe in the inerrancy, the infallibility, the sufficiency of God's holy word, because I have stood in this place for the last 4 years, and the same advice I give you almost every Sunday: read your Bible. It will make you a better Christian. Yes. I believe in the power of reading the word of God. But I want to also suggest to you, church, almost paradoxically this morning, sometimes the worst advice you can give to someone in a moment of crisis is to simply tell them, go read your Bible. Stay with me. Telling someone in crisis to read their Bible can be bad advice, because most people don't know how to read the Bible. And they really don't know where to begin. So when you tell someone to read their Bible, there's only one or two things they're going to do. Either they're going to do it the Holy Spirit way and say, I'll start here. Amen? Amen. Or they're going to read the Bible the way we are taught to read any book. You start at the beginning. And for the rookie reader, for the basic reader, for the agnostic, for the atheist, for the Christian in crisis, when they open up the Bible to the beginning and they get to Genesis 1 and read about creation, then read another version of creation in Genesis 2, then read about the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, then read about Cain murdering Abel in Genesis 4, then get to Genesis chapter 5. That's genealogy of he begot that and they begot that. Before they get to Genesis chapter 5, they're saying, what the heck does this have to do with me? They find a certain irrelevance as they begin in the beginning. What does God create the heaven and earth have to do with my mother dying of Alzheimer's? What's in the word of God that helps me now that my son is in jail? What does this book have to do with me being laid off and wondering how the next bill is going to be paid? There seems to be no hope and no message and no relevance in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And by the time they get to chapter 5, they have quit. The struggle with reading in the beginning in Genesis 1 is when you go to Genesis 1. Are you with me still, church?
Yes.
Not only do you struggle with the sense of relevance, trying to figure out what this means for me, but you also come face to face with the inherent tension between science and faith. Because Genesis 1, this creation account of God creating the heavens and the earth in 7 days is hard to digest by anyone, Reverend Lyles, who has exposure and experience with science. Genesis 1 is hard to digest when you know the dating of the earth is older than what the Bible would report it to be. Genesis 1 is hard when you know of the remains of Lucy, the astropolithicus, that's that ape that looks like a human, who gave evidence to Darwin's theory of evolution and contradicts the creative nature of God creating Adam and Eve on the sixth day. Genesis 1 is hard for us who have the archaeological evidence of dinosaurs who roamed the earth and became extinct as a geological fact that is not recorded in Genesis chapter 1. It is hard to accept this testimony of faith when you know of the cosmological and astrological evidence that the Big Bang, which suggests the universe was started by the grand explosion, not by some creative design of a God who sits somewhere. And as a result, many people read Genesis 1 and a line is drawn in the sand that says either you stand with science and reject the claim of faith, or you stand on the side of faith and you shut off your intelligence and believe in something you know your mind can't conceive of. There are many people who have given up on the Bible and scripture and God and the claims of faith because they cannot reconcile what they know to be scientifically true. And what yet we read in the book of Genesis, it draws a dichotomy between science and faith. And that mutual inclusivity between science and faith and religion all revolves, Reverend Lyle, around 7 days. Watch your pastor now. 7 days kind of give evidence to how old the earth really is. 168 hours cannot explain the evolutionary process of mankind. 7 days, 7 24-hour cycles cannot help us understand how dinosaurs came to be and no longer exist. 7 days seem to contradict what we know to be scientifically true. Aren't y'all glad y'all came to church this morning?
Hallelujah.
Can we delay the shout until we engage our minds a little bit here? So when you read Genesis 1, you are put in a dilemma. Do I believe the seven-day account, or do I believe what science has already proven to be true? I would suggest to you a very precarious and very subtle form, and hear me out before y'all get together and say, you know what, I think we got the wrong pastor. Y'all get away out of church when I'm done and say, I give them a call, they're going to have a meeting. Here we go. Walk with me. The writers of the creation account, we're not trying to give you a scientific explanation of how the world came to be. When they talk about how the world came to be, that the Bible is not trying to tell you it happened in 7 24-hour periods. Stay with me. I know this contradicts what you learned in Sunday school. I want you to go back and reread Genesis chapter 1 and make a note of what happens on what day. Can I give y'all the cliffhanger note version?
Yeah.
The Bible says on day one, God creates light and separates the darkness. And the darkness is called night. And the light is called day. That's day one. Day two, a firmament is created that separates the waters. That's waters, that's day two. On day three, God gathers together dry ground, which he calls earth, and waters, which he calls sea. That is day three. But in verse 14, you get to day number four. And listen to what happens on the fourth day. Verse 14 says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let those lights be signs for seasons, for days, and for years. On the fourth day, God created that which divides the night and the day. On the fourth day. Now with me.
Amen.
And that which makes our seasons, days, and years. Day four, whatever God created on day four separates the day and the night and marks out our days, our seasons, and our years. Are you with me?
Amen.
Come on now, educated New Jerusalem. Here we go, saints. What separates day and night and what distinguishes seasons? What marks days and years? The sun and the moon. We know that seasons are governed by the rotation of the earth around the moon. We know that the days are marked by the rising and the setting of the sun. So on day four, sun and moon are created, Deacon Dream.
Yes,
now, if you're with me, if the sun and moon don't show up till day four,
come on now.
It's real simple here. How do you know how long day one was? Y'all with me still?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
If we mark a day in our understanding by the rising and setting of a sun that does not even exist until the fourth day. The fourth movement. The fourth movement of creation. How do we know how long a day was? That many when these biblical writers use the term day, they're not indicating a 24-hour period that is marked by the rising and setting of the sun. They are indicating a movement of God. Oh, y'all ain't with me, huh?
Oh, yes.
And they mark the first movement as a day, the second movement as a day, the third movement as a day. But day does not mean 24 hours. That is why Peter says in 2 Peter, this is what he said, that 1,000 years as one day. Help me, somebody. In the sight of our God, one day has 1,000 years.
Ooh.
That this term day does not mean 24 hours. These writers are not trying to produce a scientific paper to be published in an academic journal to be debated by scientists. And when you go to Genesis chapter 1 to come back, if you're going to get in an argument with your coworker and you go to Genesis chapter 1 to combat evolution and Darwinism and the Big Bang Theory, you're looking at the wrong book.
All right.
The wrong thing. These are not scientists who wrote Genesis chapter 1 with PhDs. These are men of faith.
Yes.
Who are trying to give you a reason to believe in God. Who are trying to confirm why God can hold your life together.
Yes,
they are giving you something much more than science. Hang on to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me share with you the power of the testimony of a God who created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Watch how Genesis 1 plays out. It plays itself out. In the beginning, God. Pause right there. Don't run too quickly past those four words.
Yes.
In the beginning, God. Who are trying, in the beginning, God. Before it all began, God. Before it got started, Deacon Furlough, God. When it was only darkness, it was God. When it was only disorder, it was God. When there was nothing being productive, there was God. When all hell was breaking loose, there was God. God was before the whole thing got started. That is why the psalmist David said in Psalms 90, before thou had created the mountains and before the earth and the sea were ever created, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Yes,
then I searched him out, and I couldn't give him a name. Then finally he came up. So David said, I just called him the ancient. Ancient of Days.
That's him. That's him.
Not you were God, not you shall be God, but God always is. There never was a time when God wasn't, and there never shall be a time when God ain't. God is eternal. Now the reason is that is this. Here we go. First one. A word of encouragement. It should put a little joy in your heart that you know in the beginning, God.
All right.
In the beginning of your sickness, God.
Yes.
In the beginning of your heartache, God.
Yes.
In the beginning of your pain, God.
Yes.
He was there before the doctor told you what it was. God was there.
Yes.
He was there before he or she packed up their stuff and said, I don't love you no more. God was there before all that got started. You should give thanks to have a God who is there in the beginning. In the beginning, God is not only a word of encouragement. Can I give you a second point? I'm trying to get you away. Second time is it is a word of instruction. Because it signifies to you and to me that if I can get God in the beginning, that the quickest way to get to the end. Y'all hear me? If I get God in the beginning, that's the quickest way to get to the end, Sister Angela. If I can get God in the beginning of my pain, that's the quickest way to get out of my pain. If I can get God in the beginning of my strife, that's the way to come to the end of my strife. If I can get God in the beginning of my day, that's the best way to make it safely to the end of my day.
Oh,
y'all ain't getting this. Some people, for the majority of some people, they spend their adult life struggling, Nita, with migraines. Those who have migraines know they are not regular headaches.
Yes.
If you never had a migraine, don't tell someone who has had one it's just a headache. Migraines are debilitating. If you talk to someone who suffers from them when they are having one, don't talk to them, leave them alone, and don't nobody move. Their head hurts when you walk by them. I spoke to a young lady the other day who suffers from them. And she went to a physician. So she began to share with me, a physician was trying to figure out what triggered her migraines. He prescribed her some Imitrix. Imitrix is a prescription medication that helps you with your migraines. For those of you that have seen it, it is a nasal spray. It is supposed to help you with the symptoms of migraines. She informed me that the doctor gave her some advice though. The Imitrix is most effective when you take it at the beginning of the migraine.
Yes.
It does its best work, not when the migraine is full blown, but when you take it at the beginning. When you take it at the beginning of your signs and symptoms of migraine is coming on, it does not do its best job if you wait until you are in the middle of a migraine. It does its best job when you take it at the beginning. I don't know what I'm preaching to, who's here who got some pain in life. If you search for God in the beginning, if you invite God in the beginning, getting God at the beginning will help you deal with your struggles. In the beginning, God. Then there's another word I got to jump on before I go any further. Create it. Help me somebody. Created, Rose.
Yes, Lord.
In the beginning, God created. Anyone who has attended, follow me very close. Pastor gonna preach this real slow. Anyone who has attended religious seminary will tell you this is where we get the traditional Orthodox Christian doctrine of creation. Ex nihilo. That's E-X-N-I-H-I-L-O. Ex nihilo. Creation, ex nihilo. It's the Orthodox Christian teaching that says God stepped into the middle of nothing and made the heavens and the earth.
All right.
It's a traditional teaching that says God stepped into nothingness and made somethingness. See, you didn't ever get that. Let me make a different way for you. He made a way out of no way. We serve a God, River Lyle, who can step into nothing and make something. Oh, y'all hear me?
Yes.
Pastor Charles Adam, the pastor of Hartford Memorial in Detroit, one of our greatest preachers from our preceding generation, in his sermon entitled From Chaos to Creation, he argued, listen, that nothingness is a European philosophical ideal.
Well,
that has no bearing, we all know the Bible written by black folk, that has no bearing in the Afro-Asiatic mind that wrote scripture. Charles Adam argues that the idea of nothing is created by a European mind that can envision nothing. They can envision nothing. He says that the Afro-Asiatic mind that wrote scripture did not envision nothing. In their mind, they could not understand the idea of nothingness. So when they write scripture, they're not writing about a God who stepped into nothingness. He says, no, what they are envisioning is a God who stepped into pre-creation chaos.
Yes, yes.
Pre-creation chaos.
Yep,
He says the best way to read verse 1 is not when God created the heavens and the earth, period. That's not the way to read it. But to say when God created the heavens and the earth, comma, connected to verse 2. Because verse 2 gives us pre-creation chaos. The earth was without form and void, no structure, no order, chaos, and no purpose. And darkness was on the face of the deep. No light, no future, no direction, no hope. And God steps into an earth with no form and void. That is filled with darkness, chaos, dysfunction, disorder, destruction, disaster, depression, discouragement, disgust, nothing but chaos. And God steps into all of that.
Yes.
And it's easy for us to understand that because I don't know nothingness, but I know chaos.
Yes.
I know emptiness, but I don't know emptiness, but I know mess. I know dysfunction. I've experienced disorder. I know what it's like when hell is breaking loose. I know what it's like for the ground to shake under me. I know what it's like to have my life falling apart. I have no control of what's going on. You know chaos. Adam argues that the good news is that though the earth was without form and void and darkness was hovering on the face of deep, there's a chaos here. It's a shout. Here's the shout of verse 2.
There it is.
Here's the shout. Watch the shout of verse 2. But the Spirit of God,
that's it,
hovered.
Yeah,
there you go.
Come on,
sir. Thank you.
The Spirit of God hovered over the darkness, Deacon Dre. There's chaos, but the Spirit of the Lord is over it. There's dysfunction, but the Spirit of the Lord is over it. There's disaster, but the Spirit of the Lord is over it. There is pain, but there is a God who sits over it. Here's the good news. We serve a God who does not run from disaster. We serve a God who's not threatened by chaos. We serve a God who does not go AWOL when all hell breaks loose. But we have a God who hovers over dysfunction, hovers over the pain, hovers over the unemployment, hovers over the prodigal child, hovers over the drug addiction, hovers over cancer, hovers over the financial care. He's the God who hovers over it. And not only does he hover over it, watch me, Sister Fred, Pastor ain't done yet. He steps in it. Sister Rose, God just don't look at it. He said, I ain't scared. You've got to see you in your mix. And he won't leave you there by yourself. Tracy, God will see you in a bad situation, in the middle of a heated battle, and God will jump right in the middle of your mix. He steps in it and he creates in the midst of your chaos. He brings order where there's disorder.
Yes, he
Yes. He brings purpose where there's no meaning.
Yes. Yes.
He gives direction where things seem to be random.
Well,
we serve a God who fixes messes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Turns situations around. Who makes enemies your best friends.
Yes. Yes.
And God who can take a bad thing and work it for your good.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, brother, sister, scientist, brother, scientist, there may have been a big bang, but God got it started.
Yes, he did.
And there may have been some evolution, but God directed it.
Yes, he did.
There may have been some dinosaurs, but God was ordering them dinosaur steps.
Yes.
I gotta get out of here, y'all ain't like me. There should be two types of praises in the house.
Yes.
In church today.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those who can give God some ex nihilo praise.
Yes.
I have seen him make a way out of no way.
Yes.
I know but God opened a door I didn't know existed. I know but God is trying to bring something into my life that I did not even know I can dream about. No, y'all are the easy praises. That's what y'all have. But I want to see how many people know God can create.
Oh, yes. Yes, he can. Yes.
Woo! In the midst of some chaos, disaster, and some mess. I've seen him work some stuff together for my good. Even when I screwed it all up, I see him take what was meant for my evil and use it to bless me.
Yes.
Is there anybody here?
Yes.
That's seen God fix some things.
Yes.
Turn some things around.
Yes.
And all you have to say, Deacon Brown, but God.
But God.
That's all you can say, but God.
But God.
All right. In the beginning, God, he was there.
Yes.
He creates in the midst of chaos.
Yes.
He has got power in the midst of chaos.
Yes, yes.
Stare at me now. The formation of the dry ground, watch me, into the earth until whatever the third movement is. But at the very beginning, when God, before God formed the earth, God sees heaven and earth. Before he creates it, Angie, he sees it.
Yes,
yes. Uh-huh. Y'all missed the shot.
Amen.
The sign of a creative genius is to have vision. You will now create anything if you don't have vision. Vision sees what ain't there yet, but knows it's on the way.
Yes.
A good painter sees the picture before the paint hits the canvas. A good musician hears the melody before the music gets to the keys. A good parent sees possibility before the child gets to the honor roll. So our God looked into chaos and saw heaven and earth. He saw the stars twinkling before they lit up.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. He saw the sun rise before he made it.
Yes.
He saw the moon, Deacon Drake, light up the night in the darkness. Oh,
yes.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes, he did.
God looked in the chaos and saw the dog with his bow wow and saw the cat with her meow.
Yes.
God saw fish wiggling in the sea.
Yes. Yes.
He saw some trees bearing some fruit.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't kidding me.
Yeah.
That's our
God. God saw Adam and Eve walking in the garden before he broke in the dust, formed them in the image of himself, blew the breath of life in them. He saw them. He got vision. Oh, y'all think I'm just trying to preach y'all?
Yes.
Here we go. I'm making sure y'all want to give me, I get church on y'all. God looks into your chaos and said, I see something.
Yes, yes.
Somebody here should get happy. Cynthia, check this out. You know why? Jeremiah chapter 29 and 11 says, God says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts I think for you.
Yes.
I know what I'm up to in your life.
Yes.
God says to let you know I had a plan from you from the beginning.
Yes.
I had so much vision because he was there in the beginning.
Yes.
He created the heavens and earth.
Yes, he did.
Y'all ain't hear me.
Yes.
He created Adam and Eve.
Yes.
He created Adam, took Eve out of Adam's side.
Yes.
He knew Adam and Eve. Watch me now.
Yes.
Was going to take the fruit that they should not took.
Yes.
God was doing all this beforehand, Sister Martha.
Yes.
Because guess what? Can I go preach on you?
Yes.
That's why, Tracy, he was able to look down through 42 generations.
Yes.
Ask his son to come down and die for us way before we sinned into God. He came down through 42 generations in the beginning. If you look in Revelation chapter 12, and it said that he's the Lamb of God before the foundations of the earth. 42 generations, he's forelooking. He said, I'm going to send my son to die on Calvary. Well, here come Jesus, stepped out of glory, stepped over the throne, walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead, and then one day they crucified him, took him to Calvary. They whipped him all night long. He said not a mumbling word, but before he was being whipped, God said he's not going to have to go down, because as soon as they lift him up, if they lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. A creator genius. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, y'all. God, I'm done. Kept y'all long enough. I hope you got something out of that. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Can I serve God like the moment now? He sits high and he looks low. When I fall down, I'm not the word to stay down.